We're going to be rebels this hour. Act your age, clean your plate, match your socks. These are some of the rules that we've been told to live by, but our guest this hour will say, don't do it. Break the rules. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July 9th. We'll talk with an author who says breaking self-imposed rules is the key to staying young and having fun. And we will wonder if you agree or if you follow this philosophy or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jason Kotecki. He's an artist, speaker, and author of the recent book, Penguins Can't Fly, and 39 Other Rules That Don't Exist. He's based in Madison, and he'll have a book signing with Rule Breaking Stations this Saturday, July 11th in Madison. He joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. So what is this Rule Breaking Stations at your book signing?
Well, we're having we're basically doing a book signing, but we're turning it upside down. We want to do something completely different, so we're having it at the Dream Bank across from the Capitol during the art fair. And instead of just having me sitting behind a table signing books, we're going to have an interactive station, so things like a photo booth with silly props for people to come and take pictures. We're going to have a ugly cookie decorating station with some fun frosting and sprinkles, and even there'll be a place where people can draw mustaches on their children. So,
because who wouldn't want to draw a mustache on their child?
That's right, that's right.
No, wait, you're breaking all the rules for a book signing. You're supposed to sit behind the desk and autograph.
Yeah, well, you know, people don't care about me. We want to have fun. We want to create something where it's based off of the theme of the book. People have a little bit of fun. And with it being the art fair, since the art in the book is mine, we'll have a lot of my art there, and it should be a good time.
So, why do you want to break the rules? Why do you want to have a good time? Why do you want parents to draw mustaches on their children?
Well, I think that these so-called rules that we get stuck following, they're a pretty good way to sign up for a life of average. And so I think that I like to look at our lives in the context of story. And I think if our stories could be better if we would break some of these rules that don't exist and have a little bit more fun, stress less. And, you know, I think we get to be adults. When we were kids, we thought it was going to be so cool to be grown up. And then when you get here, it's like, man, this is not all it was cracked up to be. And I think we're like, is this all there is? And I think that there is more if we're willing to break some of these rules.
All right. Well, you know what? The rules are there for a reason, some serious adult might say. They're there to make sure that you don't get in trouble and we have a, you know, well-functioning society. So why are you contradicting that?
Well, you know, I it's probably worth saying I'm not about advocating breaking speed limits or not paying taxes. There are certain things, unless you look good in an orange jumpsuit, you might want to follow certain rules. But it's these other ones that we add on to it that there really are no negative consequences for breaking, but sometimes there are actually negative consequences for following. So those are the ones we talk about.
What are the negative consequences for following the rule act your age?
Stress is a big one. You know, we get so uptight when we're acting our age. I don't even know what that means, right? Like, I heard a lot when I was a kid. I know you'd probably be surprised by that. Now it's like I wonder, what is the age when I'm supposed to start eating dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? You know, like where it's very confusing.
It's 40, let me tell you.
40? Okay.
At least in my experience.
I've got a year left. So, yeah. So it's just the negative consequences are stress. You're a little bit more uptight. You're missing out on opportunities that could really make your life more meaningful, more fun. And it just brings everything down to this level that's just not as good as it could be.
I eat dinner early because I go to bed early.
Well, you have a good excuse. You have to be up so early.
We heard that, you know, clean your plate. There are starving children around the world. You like to put ugly cookies on your plate instead.
Yeah. Well, you know, our cookies, we don't have to compete with Martha Stewart, you know? I don't know that we could. But yeah, that story in the book came from a friend of mine. mine who she was planning a party, Christmas party, and she delegated it to her husband and son, the baking of the cookies. And they decided, since every year mom makes these cookies and never get to eat any, they said, if we make these cookies as ugly as possible, no one will eat them. They'll be more for us. So that's what they did. And it was such a hit that then it became this family tradition that's been going on for 20 years now.
That's hilarious. And I think I saw a picture of an ugly cookie that maybe you made, and it was
it was ugly,
ugly,
right? Yeah. Yeah. You get so stressed out trying to make it look beautiful. It's like, well, just go the other direction, right?
Yeah. So what are the positive consequences of breaking these rules?
Well, it all depends. We talk about in the book some silly ones, you know, acting your age and making the bed, you know, thou shalt make the bed. But on the other side, there's things like thou shalt hate Mondays. You know, a lot of people wake up and they hate Mondays. You know, thank God it's Friday. And I think that's a greater sign that if that's a rule that you're following, that you should hate Sundays, then you need to be doing something different with your life. Because, you know, people say if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And I love what I do, but there's still things about my job I don't like, right? But if it's you're always looking forward to the weekends, to me that's a negative consequence, because there's only 2 days out of the week that are the weekend, you know? Yeah. You should maybe start moving in a different direction. So maybe Monday's not such a bad guy after all. But Monday wishes he was Saturday, let me tell you.
Yeah, right. And maybe if you are breaking more of these self-imposed rules or silly rules, you wouldn't be at work, you wouldn't be dreading Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and it's about finding, it's not so much that work is a bad guy. It's, I think sometimes we'd fantasize about winning the lottery and going to stay on a beach. And that sounds great. But after a while, we'd get kind of bored. And I think the reality is it's not work that's terrible. It's what we want is work that matters. And I think that's the thing that gets us up in the morning and gets us to look forward to Mondays.
Yeah. And you do put on presentations at workplaces and conferences about this, because I take it you think this will make not only will we be better human beings and have more fun, but we might be better workers?
Yeah, well, we kind of talk about going two different angles. We speak a lot for companies and at associations, at conferences. And so these rules and the idea of being more childlike, there are some advantages to it, both on the life balance side, you know, trying to figure out how to be more productive and things like that. But then also on the innovative side, that if we're willing to look at things with new eyes and be willing to break rules that don't exist, there are a lot of opportunities in to be innovative and to be more profitable. So like a perfect example is like Blockbuster versus Netflix, right? So Netflix broke the rule that thou shalt charge your customers a late fee to get them to return videos. They broke a rule that you need to have a bricks and mortar location to rent videos. And that worked out pretty good for them. Blockbuster, however, the negative consequence there is they didn't break the rules and they're out of business now. So sometimes just standing pat is not the best option either. Sometimes we have to make a leap and be a little bit more innovative.
Yeah. So what inspired you to start breaking rules?
Well, it's funny because I was not a rule breaker growing up. I was the kid that colored inside the lines. The idea of going to the principal's office terrified me. But I got to the point where I started to look ahead and I thought of myself as like a 70, 80-year-old guy looking back on my life and wondering, what if? And that fear of regret basically got me thinking about, you know, what do I need to do differently in my life and what different choices can I make? And that was kind of the impetus for me to start thinking about the potential regrets of missing out on some of these opportunities because I was so busy following the rules.
Yeah. So what's a recent rule you broke?
Well, one that tends to happen quite a bit is thou shalt not eat dessert first. That happens quite a bit in our household.
you will eat dessert
yeah,
first.
Yeah, yeah. Not every time, but once in a while. And it's funny when you do it when you go out to eat. and the waiter or the waitress looks at you like, what's going on? You know, they just don't understand what's happening, you know, and it's always been fun. We've only done it maybe 3 or 4 times, but it's always seems to be the same reaction. The waiter, waitress, they don't know exactly. They're like, so you're going to get dinner, but you want dessert first. So, like, when should I, you know, so it's kind of fun just for that to do that.
And your wife, your family's on board with this?
Well, my wife, for sure. The kids are, they don't have any choice in the matter. So I have people that say, oh, you guys must be, it must be so fun to have you as parents. And I said, well, our oldest is 6 and a half. I go, she thinks we're okay now, but if you could remind her in about 10 years how cool we are, that would be good. Cause I don't know that that always stay the same.
We are talking with Jason Kotecki, artist, speaker, author of Penguins Can't Fly and 39 Other Rules That Don't Exist. And we're talking about breaking those rules and why you might want to break those rules. And we wonder what rules you like to break. When's the last time you might have done something that wasn't acting your age? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. We are breaking some of the rules this hour with the author of Penguins Can't Fly Plus 39 Other Rules That Don't Exist. Our guest, Jason Kotecki, is on a mission to help us fight adultitis. He says that we should try to escape adulthood sometimes, telling us why and how. And we're welcoming your questions and your thoughts. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So what is adultitis?
Well, anyone who is in healthcare would probably know that adultitis literally means swelling of the adult. And I didn't actually think of that when I coined the term. Kim and I came up with it, but I think that is a good example. It's like when you have too much adult in your life and it crowds out that inner child a little bit. And it's a disease that is, it happens when you forget what it was like to be a kid. And it, again, limits us and keeps us from being creative and fun and keeps us in, I guess, stuck thinking, I suppose.
And you think we should annihilate it?
Yeah, I think it's terrible. And I mean, the number one side effect of adultitis is stress. And one of the things I talk about in my programs a lot is how stress, chronic stress, has been linked to every single thing we can possibly die from, whether it's cancer or even things like heart disease or suicide even. And so it's we like to have fun with it, but it's serious. And there's a lot of people who tell me after programs, they say they live with someone who has a high level of adultitis. I'm sure people out there have worked with someone or for someone who has a high level of adultitis. So I think we'd be a lot better off if it was wiped off the face of the earth, to be honest with you.
Let's take a call from Anastasia in Madison. Hi, Anastasia.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. So are you a rule breaker?
You know, I'm generally not. Good morning, Jason.
Hi.
Hi. I have known Kim and Jason since I moved back here to Madison, or it feels that way, in 2006. And I am one of those people that have a high level of adultitis, just generally, since I was a kid, actually. And that's why I really appreciate your work, because it reminds me kind of over and over in my face on my Facebook page. Now that I have the book, it is on our kitchen table. It's rode around in our car since we've gotten it, because my daughter, who's almost 12, she is very much a rule follower. And she at first was like, what is this? Rules are good. Rules keep us, you know, together kind of thing. And I said, well, just read the book. You know, I think the pictures are great. I think you'll really love it. And she has read it back to, you know, cover to cover, probably at least 10 times since we got it in the mail. And there are still some of them, like, she still, you know, kind of says, I don't know about this one. But most of them, she's like, hey, I never thought about that. And it has brought up conversations. And it's really made us think a lot. We started, every once in a while in my head, at least, I've started saying, well, who says? You know, when I tell myself, like, we went to the fireworks last minute, got jumped in the car, went to some place that we thought would be really packed, and maybe we wouldn't see, and maybe we wouldn't get a spot. And then we got there, we got this perfect spot, and the kids were excited and tired, and they said, hey, can we sit on the roof of the car? We'd see better. And immediately both my husband are like, oh, I don't know about that. And then it was like, in my head, I thought of your book and said, like, well, who says you can't sit on the roof?
Well, who cares about
the roof of the car?
And they got
up there, and I was like, yay! And it was great. It was great.
And thank you, Anastasia. And that's an example, too. It's not maybe even just making that last-minute decision to go see the fireworks is breaking the rules.
Yeah. You know, two things that she said I think are really cool. Like, she said about being reminded. And one thing I've realized that what I've been doing over the last, you know, 5 or 10 years is I'm really a professional reminderer. I mean, I kind of joke about it, but it's true, is that the stuff I'm talking about is not new, it's not rocket science, but it seems to be the thing that we forget when we're caught up in the busyness of living. And so I think that's really cool to hear that. And I appreciate that the book is making an impact. And that's part of it too, is, you know, she said that her daughter's like, well, I'm not sure about this rule or that rule. And that's cool. Like, I really don't want to, like, tell people what rules they should and should break. I just want them to be more mindful of it. And it sounds like that's a perfect example of, like, now just being a little bit more mindful of, like, says who, right? So that makes me super happy. So
I think that thank you, Anastasia, for calling in. And I laughed when she said her daughter is a rule follower. And I have a niece, and frankly, I was too.
Yeah.
There's something when you're younger too. Wait, that's not, you know, we got to follow the rules.
Yeah. Well, my oldest is like that. Maybe I was the oldest in my family, so I can relate to that. I think sometimes that's a thing. But yeah, there's kids. And, you know, there's a thing we've noticed. It's a juvenile adultitis where kids who are super tied up in, you know, getting the good grades and, which is good, obviously, but it's when it's to the point where it goes maybe too far. It's like there's a point where you can just be a kid too. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, what's the balance here though? Jason, I don't mean to be, the adult in the room, but I mean, I'm all for having fun. I'm all for sitting on the roof of the car to watch the fireworks doing things that maybe somebody my age wouldn't necessarily do. But, you know, there's work to be done. And there's, you know, there are some things that you have to follow the rules or things are going to get messed up. So what do you advise along those
lines?
That's
a good question. And that's something I think is important to address. One of the things that Kim and I are very clear on is that there is a difference between being childlike and childish. And anyone who has a husband probably knows the difference. I think it's true. I mean, I don't think that it's about anarchy being irresponsible. Those are being childish, right? But the things about childhood that I think are worth recapturing are things like being more curious, dreaming big, having a little bit more playfulness, maintaining perspective. Another good one is like just delighting in little things. As we get older, we get more cynical and we're kind of like, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And I think that, you know, kids just find magic in such little things. So like a backyard filled with dandelions. An adult might look at that and see an army full of weeds that have taken over the yard. And a kid might see all these wishes, you know, that are potential wishes out there. So that's really kind of what it's all about, is just kind of changing our perspective to see things the way we did when we were kids and seeing what kind of opportunities can come from that.
Jason Kotecki is the author of Penguins Can't Fly, plus 39 Other Rules That Don't Exist. And we are talking about some of these rules that are meant to be broken, according to Jason. And we wonder if you like to break these self-imposed rules of adultitis. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Chris on Facebook says, I played on the slip and slide and I played Red Rover with the accumulated guests during our barbecue on July 4th. And I'm 41 years old. So that's...
She's got it. Yep, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Another Steve on Facebook says, I am a 54-year-old man with a 4-year-old daughter. I now get to play with toys again and giggle like a kid. The only rule is to be a good daddy and husband.
That's I agree with that. I think that's what's one of the cool things about kids. You know, before we had kids, we were still doing this, talk about adultitis. And after programs, there'd be a bunch of people who'd come up and say, oh my gosh, you're going to have kids now? You think, you are totally, they are the cause of adultitis. You're in trouble. And I was panicked for a while. But then I'd have other people come up and said, oh my gosh, you guys are going to have kids. They're the cure to adultitis. And I had people saying both things so much that it made me realize it's not about the kids at all. It's about our response. I know people who have no kids whatsoever that are riddled with adultitis and vice versa. So what I love about having kids is it gives you an excuse. It's a little bit of cover to be more childlike, right? So yeah. Take advantage of that.
Well, yeah, and I don't have kids, but I love to play, and that is one of the cures of adultitis is to be able to play again.
That's right. Yeah, the things that you just like to do that you never make time for. Those are the things that I think a lot of us get pushed off. But playfulness, and when I talk about play for grown-ups, it's the stuff you like to do just because. It's usually the first thing that gets pushed aside when something more urgent and important comes up. But those are basically your built-in stress relief valves that fill you back up again so that you have more to give to your work or your family or your friends.
Yeah, and here's the other Steve on Facebook who says, one of the advantages of being considered a senior citizen is that you've learned not to care so much about looking foolish. Everyone expects you to be a little odd.
Yeah, that's a good point. I that's, you know, Kim and I talk about that a lot with, like, her mom is really good about you. She just doesn't care as much what people think about. And in the book I talk about, there's a quote from John Maxwell who says something to the effect of, like, when you're 18, you're all concerned about what everyone's thinking of you. And then when you're in your 30s, you don't care as much what people are thinking about you. And then once you get to be 60, you realize no one was thinking about you at all. And so it doesn't really matter.
Well, let's talk about some of the other. One of your rules is thou shalt do and see everything while on vacation. Why do you say that?
What is the thing when people say they go to vacation, they come back, and what do they say? I need another vacation.
Yeah.
Because they've been killing themselves to just cram everything in. And on one hand, it makes sense because a lot of times there are things, places we haven't been to and maybe we'll never get to go to again. But we come back so stressed out that I think there's a lot of magic in giving ourselves permission that we don't have to see everything and just kind of breathing a little bit because there's opportunities in those spaces in between all the busyness where sometimes the real magic happens. And I tell a story in the book one time, my entire family, we took a vacation up to Door County and we did all the Door County stuff. But there was one night that we ended up around the campfire eating these Harry Potter Birdie Bots jelly beans, the one that tastes like vomit and earthworm and stuff.
I have tried those and I regretted it, but anyway.
Yeah, well, my mom, I couldn't believe she played. We basically did jelly bean Russian roulette where we went around the fire, you pick one, you had to eat it, and guess what it was?
That's funny.
And I'll tell you what, of all the things we did, that's the one thing that we talk about more than anything else.
Yeah, you don't
and it was
think
never
about,
planned.
You don't think about, you know, Peninsula State Park as much as that.
Right, exactly.
Oh, wow. Here's another one, and let's just... thou shalt get a job with benefits.
Yeah, well, I heard that all the time growing up, that's important. You got to get health insurance. That's what most people think, right? Health insurance, dental, eye, whatever it is, 401k. And as I was going to school for art, I kind of thought my chances of that happening were pretty slim. And fortunately, even though my parents were very big on that, they still allowed me to kind of go my own way. But I kind of actually agree with that rule now that I think about it, because the benefits I have in my job is that I get to do what I love. I get paid to travel to cool places. When I'm not speaking somewhere, I get to have every single meal at home with my family. My commute is 5 seconds long. Mm-hmm. I have tons of benefits with my job. There's a lot of freedom. But they're not the traditional benefits.
Right.
So I think I kind of agree with the rule that you should get a job with benefits. The key is make sure they're the benefits you actually want.
Wonderful. And again, your book is full of your illustrations.
Yeah.
And that's your other full-time job.
Yeah, that's what I grew up doing is art. That was my first love, and I've been doing art in one way or another since I was a little kid. And we've written several books before this, but this is our first one with a New York publisher, and we were able to kind of combine it with the full color, the illustrations, my words. I told Kim when I sent it off to the editor, because I got to design every square inch of this book, which is also kind of rare. I was like, I don't think I can do another book any other way, because it's such a part of who I am, having the mix of the two, that it was it turned out so cool, and it was a really neat opportunity.
So do you color within the lines?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I gotta say, like I said, I'm a professional reminderer, and sometimes I'm reminding myself at the very same time. There are times where my instinct is to just kind of keep doing the same thing over and over, especially if it's worked. But it's a challenge to try new things, especially with art, experiment in different directions and try to push myself, because that's how you grow, is by experimenting with new ways of doing things and then learning from them.
Hey, are you encouraged by this new trend that is out there? Adult coloring books?
You know, I have seen those. They look pretty cool. They're kind of like a really detailed stained glass window or mosaic things. And I think it's really neat, because it gives people a chance to – it's almost like a gateway drug, maybe, to like be more childlike, because it gives them permission to pick up a crayon. When was the last time you picked up a crayon, right? That smell. Yeah. And they say, like, the sense of smell is the one that is most connected to our memories. I mean, smell a crayon, or for me, a can of Play-Doh. Oh, best smell in the world. And you just go right back to when you were a kid, and it helps bring back some of those memories and those things that we knew pretty well about life that we had down, and somehow we kind of forget as we get older.
Oh, I'm sorry, I made a caller wait too long. Here's an email from Perry. Every time I push my cart out of the grocery store, I still take a running start and then hop on it and ride all the way to my car. Inevitably, someone will smile and nod at me with a look that said, I wish I had the guts to do that. Yeah, he says, I'm 64.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of one of the rules in the book is thou shalt not let them see you car dancing. And I know we can all relate to that, right? You're driving along, you hear that song. For me, it's like Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Get that on. And I'm just rocking. And then what inevitably happens is you get to the stoplight, you completely forgot about it. You're doing it. You're having a concert in your car. And then you look over and someone is looking at you. And adultitis is right there wanting you to be ashamed of that. And a lot of times we're like, oh, we stop. But what we forget is that sometimes by doing that, it might lift someone else's day. It might inspire them to say, oh, you know, maybe I could be a little bit more brave. It's like we all have the opportunity to be permission granters for people around us as well. And this world is aching for silliness. I know you're talking about the budget stuff coming up, and that is important. But boy, this world needs some silliness to offset some of that seriousness sometimes.
Dancing Queen by ABBA.
That's yours?
Yes.
Classic.
I was doing it one morning, and somebody did. It was one of these, well, what is that person doing? But I think they got it.
Yeah.
Bill in Ashland was the caller who couldn't wait. He said he thinks breaking the rules makes for better memories as you get older. You want to look back at the fun things, not when you were obeying all the rules.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I've noticed that, you know, I speak a lot to people who work in hospice and long-term nursing home stuff. And one of the things that seems to be the fact is when you get to the end of your life and you're on your deathbed and your friends and family around you, those things that we think about, and the big stuff, things like, you know, the economy and terrorism and immigration and all these things, this does not get brought up on your deathbed. The things that gets brought up are the memories and the scenes you've created, the adventures you had with your partners in crime. And so, although I am not against trying to solve our big problems, I think we just need to be more mindful about creating more of these, we call them scenes, these memories with the people you care about.
We are talking with Jason Kotecki. He's an artist, a speaker, author of the recent book, Penguins Can't Fly and 39 Other Rules That Don't Exist. He's based in Madison, Wisconsin. He'll have a book signing with Rule Breaking Stations this Saturday, July 11th in Madison, when Art Fair on the Square is going on. And he is on a not a rule tour for his book. We'll talk more about some of these rules that are not a rule when we get back after the news. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about escaping adulthood, annihilating adultitis, breaking the rules with our guest Jason Kotecki. He is the author of Penguins Can't Fly and 39 Other Rules That Don't Exist. He advocates we break these rules and have more fun and stay young, and be less stressed, and all sorts of other benefits. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org if you have a question or an example of a time maybe when you broke the rules. When's the last time you did something that was not acting your age? Looks like we have a lot of people in the audience who are not acting their age. We have Betsy on Facebook who says, my husband and I tented in the backyard over the 4th of July and we cooked all our meals over the fire. It was just like when I was a little kid. It was so fun and so refreshing. Yeah, that's
awesome. That's, yeah, that is a great one.
And we have Ella on Facebook who says, it's amazing that you've put this message into words. I've fumbled for the right words to describe it nearly my whole life. Long live the Peter Pan state of mind. Is that kind of what you're talking
about? Yeah. Well, you know, that's what's neat is the word adultitis is something that when I wrote my first book 10 years ago, it was called Escape Adulthood. And at the very end, right before the book came out, we were able to slip in adultitis. And Kim and I were talking like, well, there needs to be a word that describes this condition, right? And it's been neat because whenever we've been talking about it, people kind of instantly get what it kind of means and then they start using it. And it feels like something that people have been waiting for to describe what happens when you lose your childlike spirit.
We have Bob in Milwaukee with us now. Hi, Bob.
Hi, good morning. I would like to thank your guest because he's touching on a subject that is so close to my heart. I, for the most of my life, and I still do, I put that fence up and don't allow people to see the other side of you. And my daughter has blessed us with two grandchildren, and they call me Little Bob because when I'm with them, I've got a 7 and a 1. I'll sit in that swimming, that little plastic swimming pool. I'll do everything that they want to do, and nobody and nothing else around me is concerning. Whereas if they're not there, it is. It's like, well, I can't show that side of me. And your guest is bringing that out and saying, you know what? There's nothing wrong with showing that side of everybody. And when I didn't do that with my children when they were growing up, busy working and so on and so forth. But now it's like, okay, I'm 3 or 2. Just enjoy the little kids and I guess come down to their level because many years ago, an inspiring person told me, wherever you're at, be there. And it was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense because if you're at the dinner table with your family, be there. Don't be thinking about what you should have done at work or what you're going to do tomorrow at work, but immerse yourself in the surroundings that you are at that time.
Yeah, well, thanks, Little Bob.
Yeah, that is a great point. I think that's a problem with the technology we have these days is it allows us to be so distracted and to bring work home, and I love that of just be there where, you know, if you're at work, be present, bring everything you have, be awesome. But when you're at home, leave work at home, be with your kids. Kim and I, we have this thing where we talk about putting in deposits with our kids and being on the floor with them and being present. And it's amazing how when you put in a little bit of time like that where you're 100% present, then when you need to what we take a withdrawal where you're asking them to behave or something like that, it just feels like they're much more willing to do it because you've already put those deposits in when you had the chance and you were present. And it makes it more valuable to you as well.
Yeah, and Bob probably has a familiar story there. He's older now, and mm-hmm. he's playing in the kiddie pool with his grandkids. But when he was raising his own kids, he was real busy at work and not really there for them.
When you're in the trenches like that as a parent, it is hard to be able to focus on just having fun, because you got a lot of things. That's kind of the reward of grandparenting, I think, is then being able to. My dad will take Hershey syrup with the grandkids and just pour it directly into a spoon, and they'll just eat Hershey syrup. He never did that with us when we were kids, but it's fun to see him do that now.
Well, now you've got three children, and you're in you're 30-ish?
39.
39, yep. Okay. Everybody looks about 35 to me. But
I appreciate the compliment. Yeah, I look closer to 30. That's great.
But you are drawing mustaches on your three-year-old.
Yeah, so that's an interesting story. It happened a little while ago. We had our third child last year, and when she was really little, we were kind of cooped up. It was actually the winter before that was super cold and was just terrible. And we were just going stir crazy to get out of the house. And so we decided to go for lunch. And so it was my job, which is not normally a picnic when you have three kids, six and under. It was my job to get the kids presentable for public viewing. And Ben was in the corner, my three-year-old. He had a little purple smudge under his nose. And I was going to go wipe it off. And my wife, Kim, says, oh, he looks like a little tiny Charlie Chaplin. And I'm like, yeah, he does. And then she says, with a straight face, she says, why can't parents draw mustaches on their kids? And she said it so seriously, I thought she needed a serious answer. So I said, probably because of what other people would think. And as soon as those words came out of my mouth, I knew what I had to do. I said, Lucy, get me that purple marker. And I brought Ben in front of me, and I drew this curly Q, big, like a ringleader mustache on my son Ben. We went to lunch. And the pictures in the book are hilarious because he was three. He didn't really know what I did. He was just playing around, eating his pancakes, doing his three-year-old stuff, and he looked hilarious. And it was amazing how I was afraid. I'm like, are we really going to go out in public like this? But we did, and it was neat to see how many people we made their day. Yeah. They would see this kid with this purple marker going, what the heck is that?
And you weren't mocking your son. You're just having some
fun. We're having fun, exactly. Yeah. And it was an eraser. It was a washable marker. It wasn't a Sharpie. So
now here's a rule that I don't think I've ever heard before, but I'll break it. Thou shalt not bring a banana on a fishing boat.
Oh, I love that. I was up in Alaska speaking for a conference, and I was asking people, what are some rules that don't exist that you hear? And this woman in the back row raised her hand, and she was all confident, said, well, you know that rule how you're not supposed to bring bananas in the fishing boat?
No.
And I was like, no. And everyone else looked around her, no. And she's like, well, don't worry about it. I already did it, and it's fine. And I'm like, I have to learn about this rule, right? So I looked it up, and apparently it's a superstition for commercial fishermen to not bring bananas on boats. And it was a reminder to me of how sometimes we live by these rules. We think everyone's living by them. And then, we realize, no, actually, that's not a rule. And you're one of the only ones who are actually doing it. So maybe we could break that one.
So do you wear your pajamas in public?
Sometimes, yes. A lot of these ideas are people that were audience members. They told us about this idea of a pajama run where you get your kids out of bed after they've been in bed for a while, and you just kind of wake them up, surprise them, jump in the car, and you go to the ice cream place, they call it a pajama run. And
cool.
People with young kids are like, wait, why would I ever do that? Well, you know how long it takes them to get to bed? And I say, it's like, you don't do it every night. Once a year, once a decade is fine. So, yeah, that's a pajama run. It's just, why can't you wear pajamas in public once in a while?
Beatty in Blanchardville is with us. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I haven't read your book, but I'm certainly looking forward to it.
Oh, cool.
But I made a connection when you were talking about being able to have more creativity. I think that's what's wrong with No Child Left Behind. There's no creativity. Mm. Everything is rigid and by the book. And it really shows up what happens if you don't have set so many rules and under such pressure.
Thanks, Beatty. So we don't have to get overly political, but
yeah.
Maybe this day and age, even kids aren't being kids.
It's funny that she brings it up. My wife, Kim, used to teach in Stoughton. She taught kindergarten for 5 years, and she's been out of it now for about 10, but she still has friends who are in the school, and they say you wouldn't even recognize it because the kids are so – they're so being geared to like teach to the test, and there's all these regulations that things like recess and playtime are being left out. But if you talk to any early childhood educator, they know that the most important things for kids to do at early ages is play, because that's how they figure out the world and their brain develops. And so I think she's right on the money. I think that a lot of times that's what our schools in general are missing, is that creative aspect, because you can't necessarily have a Scantron fill-in-the-box test to teach creativity, which is something, if we want our country to go forward and be great in the world to come, it's because of innovation and being creative.
Yeah. So have you ever broken a rule and then realized you should not have broken it?
We talked about that in the break, and I've been thinking about that. And one that comes to mind, I'm sure there are a million, okay, I'll say that. But when I was in high school, I used to draw pictures for girls that I liked. I would draw little teddy bears and stuff. And I didn't realize that was a rule that you shouldn't follow until it seemed like without fail every time a couple weeks after they put it in their locker. But I magically transformed into more of like a brother, and it was never – you know, that's not a sign there's going to be a second date. However, I persisted because I did the same thing for Kim, and for whatever reason – she responded to it, and it went really good. But there's this little three sentence story in the book that kind of goes with that. It's under "Thou shalt always be careful." Once upon a time, there was a girl who was raised by her grandmother in a magical forest. The old woman was always telling her to be careful, so she was, and nothing awesome ever happened to her. The end. And I think if we can be careful, we will not make mistakes, but it's sometimes the magic happens when you're taking risks.
Yeah, and that reminds me of one of my favorite quotes, and I posted this on the Facebook page, my Facebook page, and the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. If you obey all the rules, you'll miss all the fun.
That's right.
It's Catherine Hepburn.
Class, I love that quote.
So a minute to go. Tell me in a minute what I can do to break a rule today.
That's a good one. I think you might want to try eating dessert first. That could be a good one. If you're here's a good one. This will cause a revolt. If you're in a relationship, tonight when you go to bed and the lights are out, swap sides of the bed.
Oh, that's never going to work.
That's always the one people are like, no, I can't do that.
I have to be on my side. No, we'll see. We'll try. Thank you very much for being with us.
So great to be here.
Jason Kotecki, artist, speaker, author of Penguins Can't Fly and 39 Other Rules That Don't Exist. He will be at a book signing in Madison with a rule-breaking station this Saturday, July 11th on the Capitol Square. As Art Fair on the Square is going on.
Yeah, it's in the Dream Bank. Right across from the Capitol, yep.
We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Thanks.
I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Caleb Lato and to Christy Taylor for producing this hour. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.